Today's show brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. Gaming computers you can be proud of. Put that on your desk or under it or wherever the hell you want to put it and play games the way they were meant to be played. We love our friends at Doghouse Systems at DoghouseSystems.com. Use the code FROGPANTS and get a free 120-gigabyte SSD hard drive for free. That's right now at DoghouseSystems.com.
You're listening to The Instance.
Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 417. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Terpster. Hello.
The Blizzard podcast, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
There you go. I've just come up with a new tagline. It just came to me.
I like it. You're a marketing genius.
I am, technically.
We just didn't know that.
I knew it.
So, actually, I already did know that. That's the thing I knew about you. No Patrick. I don't know where Dills is. He may join us. I don't know what's up. He may have had a long night. I don't know. What national sports team from California is winning something today? That's how you'll know where Dills is.
I don't know, because Reddit's all gone down because they fired Victoria. So I don't know anything today.
Whoa.
Everything's gone.
They fired her?
Yeah. That's why it's like, you know, everything's gone private.
I thought, weird. So I thought the big controversy was that they decided to shut down a bunch of hate threads.
Oh, no, that was ages ago. That was fat people hate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no, yesterday they fired Victoria for some reason.
Yeah.
Probably justified. Allegedly. There you go. Cover my ass. So then AMA went private only in protest because they're like, without her, we can't really run AMAs anymore because she was the person who facilitated that happening with all the cool people.
Yeah.
And then a load of other people did it in solidarity.
Mm.
So like I said, my source of news, I don't know anything.
Your source of news, even if you go to the main page, is now mostly stories about Victoria. So yeah, that may, wow. Reddit became pretty useless in a day. I guess that's the point.
That's it. And guess who's going to be back?
Huh.
Dig, baby.
Oh.
Dig's going to be like, hey, guys, it's me. I'm Dig.
Yeah.
Come on, let's do it.
Dig is back like, with a vengeance.
You're like, Dig, I'm sorry, man. As we hate Reddit today, but we don't hate it that much. I'm sorry. You can go again.
Is Reddit's, let's see if /r/wow still there.
Yeah. Wow's not gone solidarity.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it seems to be talking all
do
about
slash,
wow.
Slash gaming.
All right.
/r/gaming.
All right.
That was down this morning.
Up, down.
There you go.
Gosh.
There you go.
You gotta be kidding me.
No gaming lols today. No memes about, do you remember when DLC was included in the game?
Petrit Farm remembers.
You know. It's like thanks.
Videos are down. Let's see. Music down.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, basically, most of the default ones. I think today, if we wanted to get into the subreddit game, we should make ask me most things, and then people would be like, oh, AMA's down, but this ask me most things,
yeah,
you know, instead of ask me anything. That's much better, actually. We, you know, we should just do that,
yeah.
And then, you know, celebrities would be more in on it because they'd be like, yeah, ask me most things about this sort of thing. But obviously, I only want to talk about Rampart, and we'd be like, don't worry, Woody Harrelson, we got your back.
Very weird. Well, anyway, so there's that. I guess the WoW Bam-o. People are still doing their thing. So, anyway, reddit.com, turmoil afoot. So we're here. We're gonna do a show. Hopefully, Dills will join us. Patrick's on vacation. We'll see what's up with those guys if they pop in. However, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Some WoW news, some other stuff, and Heroes and Hearthstone and some other things. So let's just get right into it. World of Warcraft. Mumper, aka Corey Stockton, aka dude I talked to 2 episodes ago,
aka dude who didn't say this to you 2 episodes ago.
No.
WTF.
Yeah, I asked him too, and it was more. I think they just hadn't decided because there's no reason he wouldn't have said.
No,
if
they have
to
decided.
Say.
They're like even working on the expansion after the next expansion right now.
Yeah.
They've decided.
Yeah,
but this is just this. I don't think he was meant to say anything.
I don't think it was. Maybe this came out.
You don't announce news like this just in like a random interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, okay, so it's a little ambiguous. The words were 6.2 is the last raid. Didn't say it was the last patch. But are we to defer from that? Or what am I trying to say? Are we supposed to understand from that that means this is end of expansion?
I would say this is end of raiding in the expansion, well, because that's clearly what they've said.
Yeah.
But in terms of, is there going to be more story to this expansion? Yes, definitely. Mm. I mean, there's far too much for there to be in between now and the next expansion. I mean, if we work on typical, the fact they haven't announced it yet, the soonest they could announce a WoW expansion would be Gamescom in August.
Yeah.
So that would be the soonest. And then you've got to think BlizzCon, potentially they could announce now and release a BlizzCon if it's the fastest they've ever done it. But Team 2 is the biggest it's ever been. It's like 1,400 people work on WoW now.
Yeah.
So they've got to be doing stuff. And you kind of feel like because there's so many expansions ahead of us that they have made what we're going to play.
Okay, next. So that's interesting because my feeling about this being the last potential hunk of content leaves me really disappointed that this would be the last of it. But
have you done Hellfire?
Yeah, last night. Well, the first
wing. What do you
think
of it?
I think it's cool. I think it's
it's really good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's much more big and open. It has a Burning Crusade feel.
It feels like Black
Temple.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels very Burning Crusade. And obviously, it harks back to some of those nostalgic BC things.
Well, in one very big way that we don't have to mention, I suppose. But they seem to have got a pretty rad set of encounters there for us. But I'm disappointed to hear that it's potentially the last piece of content for this expansion. But what makes that disappointment ebb a little bit is this idea that we've talked about before, and they've kind of hinted at that they want to be, they've said for years they want to be quicker on the cycle. They want to get new content out faster.
If only we had more money to do it.
Yeah.
That's what Blizzard said.
So let's just say your scenario holds water. Let's say they come out at Gamescom and say, here's a new expansion. It's based on blah, blah, blah. Here's a cool intro video, whatever.
Let's just say Nagas are coming back.
Yeah.
Ashara's pissed.
Yeah.
She's teamed up with the old gods. And while we've been away, everything's gone to crap.
Yeah, we've been on this other planet and stuff's gone to poo and
other dimension.
So let's say that's all true.
Dimension.
And let's say they announce that, and let's say they launch the game at BlizzCon. I just want to throw out that idea and support your thinking.
That would be really, really silly considering that all of Blizzard are at BlizzCon, not on the phone ready to fix stuff. And all of their core massive fans are at BlizzCon not playing the game.
Yeah.
But let's say they did it like they did with Draenor, where they launched it the week after.
Okay, fair enough. Let's say it's the week after.
Or whatever it worked out to be. I remember being in LAX, logging into WoW on airport Wi-Fi in Europe, in America, with the world's biggest latency you've ever seen.
I imagine it was great. So I'm sure it was an amazing experience for you.
Yeah, it worked really well. And then it obviously crashed and we just got on a plane.
So the question is, if they did that, does that remove all of the disappointment people seem to have? Because the disappointment they're having about no more content after 6.2 is based primarily on the current pattern, which is, well,
like
you got to wait like another 18 months.
Play a game,
Yeah, exactly. If that doesn't exist, if there is no 18 months, and maybe it would behoove Blizzard to talk at least that way so that they would stem some of this anger or whatever.
But they can't jump it. You know, Blizzard will have to have a big cinematic or big something put together to announce the next expansion. And Blizzard isn't going to come out and say, yeah, we're doing another WoW. I know everyone knows it. It's like Call of Duty every year. There's going to be another Call of Duty. Let's not pretend anything otherwise. But they like to make a big song and dance out of it. And same thing with WoW and the next expansion. They want to make a big, cool cinematic. And then they want to put that out a big stage. They can't just put it out in a press release on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
It will need to be at a big event. And historically, it's always been at BlizzCon. But when you're looking at now six franchises, it's crazy. Six franchises.
Yeah.
Come the end of this year, we're going to be playing Overwatch, at least in beta, but potentially even released before the year's out.
Yeah.
So we could have six different games on the launcher come BlizzCon in November.
Yeah, easily.
That if you think all of those games, so StarCraft, you know, we've got Legacy of the Void coming out, so they probably wouldn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Diablo 3, it's been a while since Reaper of Souls, they could say something.
Yeah.
We know that there's something happening with Hearthstone on the 22nd of July, but equally, Hearthstone has so many announcements and expansions and heroes and everything that they would be due for something. It's just so congested that maybe Gamescom, which previously has been the home of Diablo announcements, is where they announce Reaper of Souls.
Yeah, or StarCraft stuff or whatever.
Potentially, yeah. It could be the venue for a new WoW announcement.
Yeah, it does. They have kind of created a weird problem for themselves. It's not a bad problem, but it's one where they have to kind of contend with how much stuff they have going on all the time. There's a lot of noise in the signal. However, the idea of WoW getting in line with all these other properties with the kinds of update potential they have, because you can always have, there's something new every week with every game they have, potentially, except maybe StarCraft. But even Diablo gets new stuff all the time.
Well, yeah, if you look at StarCraft in the player-made stuff and right. The kind of galaxy editor, there's new stuff all the time.
Yeah, all the time. So why not try to get WoW in the condition that it maybe needs to be as it enters a new phase to be constantly updating? Like,
I think, again, RuneScape holds the Guinness World Record for the most updates applied to a game, and they do a big update every single week, yeah. And they have done for over a decade now. WoW obviously has a little bit more substance to it and a little bit more fidelity that prevents them being quite as nimble. But when you see 3 million players depart in a quarter, perchance that's an opportunity for you to make a big announcement, a big update to try and get more people back in. Mm-hmm. But even if they announced WoW in August, it would have to be in beta in September.
Yep.
To then stand a chance of potentially being released before the year's out.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, that there's so many questions. It's not the same as plopping a new hero into Heroes, because you've kind of got you don't have to revamp everything to put something else in. So I'm just saying maybe Blizzard gets more modular with WoW, and they start saying, all right, instead of big expansion being the main point of contact for new content. Maybe it's, new single new zone, the way that like this new patch for Diablo is coming out with a brand new zone. Just boom, there it is. Here's your new zone. There's new stuff to do there, things to collect, whatever the point of it is. But not have to have it uproot everything else with all the class balance stuff and everything else that goes into every major release.
But you need those big releases to get people off their asses and back into playing WoW. Yeah. Because otherwise patches do this all the time. You know, think of the Isle of Thunder. Yeah. They introduced a whole new zone, had a whole new questing areas and mechanics and, you know, new dungeons to do and, you know, new factions to rep up with. And basically, you know, could be a mini expansion in and of itself. Mm. But, you know, it's part of a larger model. And I think they make so much money from selling a new expansion. If you think about that, as was it $60 in America?
Yeah.
And then the collector's edition is $80, 60, or is that what $60 for collectors?
$60 is the now I don't know. Yeah, I think
I'm trying to think. I don't know how it works out over here. I think it's about $30 for the game, and then $60 for the collectors, like twice as much almost.
Right. Right.
But you know, they sell millions and millions. Yeah. And then everyone subs up again, and it's that sort of thing where, you know, you don't break that model unless you have a really, really, really solid case study as to why you'd make more money doing it a different way.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone could do that when WoW is as dominant as it is.
I kind of agree. I don't know what they do. I guess what I'm looking at is this news over the last couple of days and the freak out over the fact that 6.2 was probably it. And if
so that's the
it,
thing, but they've said this sort of thing before, and then what they end up doing is then putting out stuff like what was the red dragon shrine underneath Dragonblight called?
We basically had that one
at the end of Lich King, didn't we?
Yeah, that was bad.
And so it's like, hey, yeah, I know you kicked Arthas's ass, and the cataclysm's coming, but maybe you should kill this black dragon here,
yeah.
A twilight dragon or whatever it was. And it's just like, okay, cool, yeah, fine.
It was not a fun encounter either.
Tied over. But it's that sort of thing could be introduced if they're running late.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Even that's not going to be enough to keep people happy or interested. You wouldn't sub up again to kill one boss,
yeah.
Or one mini little contained, you know, basically glorified five-man.
Yeah.
So... I personally think that they're going to put out another like a dungeon patch and a little bit more story, and then it will segue into the next expansion being announced probably later this year.
Are we done?
I don't think they're quick enough to do it for Gamescom.
Are we done with Gul'dan? Do you think he's dead?
No.
No one ever dies, right?
No, well, I think the if we again
no
stop
spoilers.
Listening for like 10 minutes. But basically I think that the portal we see at the end of 6-2 is probably leading to the Twisting Nether.
Mm.
Now, if we go back to our dimension and timeline, Ner'zhul had a pact with Kil Jaeden.
Mm.
And when he failed to deliver the Burning Legion to Azeroth or whatever he was trying to do.
It's a lot of that going around, by the way.
Kil Jaeden basically pulled him into the Twisting Nether. Well, it tricked him into coming into the Twisting Nether and then endlessly tortured him. Killing him, ripping him apart, putting him back together again, only to rip him apart again.
Yeah.
And he did this again and again and again, and then encased him within an armor and became the Lich King.
Mm.
And he entombed him in Ice Crown, and Arthas came along, and we know how that ended. So we could end up with another Lich King, but powered by Gul'dan. I think it might be a bit too abstract for Blizzard just to do that. For players who haven't read the books, to just have Gul'dan come back as a Lich King would be really strange.
Yeah. Well, plus you have one, right? Borval or Bovine.
Bovar's up there, but again, maybe he could be corrupted. Maybe he could be slain, or maybe that, you know, there can only be one Jailer of the Damned. And if all of a sudden Gul'dan comes back into our reality, but as a Lich King, then you've got the War of the Kings. I don't know.
Highlander
but
4.
Personally, the other person, well, basically the Twisting Nether is where demons exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to kill a demon outright is to kill them inside the Twisting Nether.
Mm.
So every single demon we've ever killed isn't dead. Never happened. We've just simply banished them from Azeroth for a time until they manage to reconstitute and then return from the Twisting Nether.
So even Mannoroth is not dead. Not Mannoroth. No. Yeah, Mannoroth. Yeah.
Exactly. Pit Lords are demons, at least according to Hearthstone. And there's another character that is a demon, according to Hearthstone. And apparently we're not prepared to really talk about that character in great detail. But Illidan, obviously, we slayed back in Burning Crusade.
Sure.
And at BlizzCon, like 3 years ago or something like that, Metzen teased us. You know, he sat up there with, you know, Aphras Abbey and Aphrarabbis Abbey. They were like, oh, yeah, who would like to see Illidan come back? And everyone's like, yeah, oh, my God, Illidan!
Yeah.
And so I think we'll see Illidan back in World of Warcraft in the next expansion or patch or something.
Mm.
Because he's too cool not to.
Yeah.
And it's just pure fan service at this point. It's the sort of stuff that will bring people back to see and to, you know, just check out.
He kills me so, on the nightly in Heroes of the Storm.
Exactly. Yeah. Heroes of the Storm, he's there. People love him.
He's a bastard.
He's well loved and played.
Yeah.
He's great in Hearthstone, albeit potentially should be a little bit more powerful than he is for who he is.
Sure.
They all
should be, technically.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that, again, could be a place we see WoW go. But yeah, 6.2 last raids here.
Yeah,
it is disappointing. It is three raids. It's just we got two up front, which we don't normally do.
Yeah, that's
we normally get
weird.
One, and then it's the next patch is the other one,
mm-hmm.
and then we get the third one.
Yeah.
So we've still got the same number of raids. It just feels like I don't know.
We're done too soon.
I think because the nature of the expansion was like, oh look, there's Grommash. Oh Grom. You're a mean one, aren't you? Oh, we better stop him. Quick, let's free Gul'dan so that they can't come here.
Yeah.
Good job. And he's like, oh, you'll regret freeing me. And we're like, well, you know, we've got to concentrate on the matter at hand.
Yeah.
And then all of the other war chiefs die and Gul'dan's actually the worst one. And then he's like, oh, Grom, now I'm the chief. You know, look at me. Mm-hmm. I'm the chief now. And then we, you know, he gets his ass kicked, and then Grom's all there with Durotan and Urel being like, yeah, we're free. It's like, well, yes, but technically we wouldn't have been in this problem in the first place. Were it not for you. I don't feel like Grom's had a redemption arc, less so than just a kind of change of mind.
He's no, like, yeah, oh, they've tried to make you kind of feel like there's a redemption arc, and look at us all at the end. We're all buddies now, putting Draenor back together again. But I felt like that was too easy. Like, that's, well,
it kind of feels like they finished it just a patch too soon, just in terms of story.
Yes.
Like there was another step in terms of character progression. And that's why, you know, 6.3 could be a thing. 6.4 could be a thing. They could keep producing content.
Right.
But it just seems a bit of a shame if this is the last piece of raid content we get, because that traditionally comes with a big point something. You know, when you have a new patch drop, short of if it's a selfie camera update, you normally expect it to come with a piece of raid content.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, I don't know. They have expectations to deal with. They have, I think they have to change this stuff. I know they've worked for years to try to figure out a way to be more agile with timing. Maybe this is their chance, but I just feel like this would be a good time to do it because people are ticked. They don't like how this ended. They feel like it's too short. They feel like there's not a lot of content there. They don't necessarily, I mean, on the whole, I don't know what the numbers are if you did a real poll and got real numbers, but a lot of people see the shipyard stuff as just additional grind. They're just leaning toward negativity right now.
The shipyard's got some weird stuff in it. Like there's a 3-day mission that rewards 100 gold.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but like for 3 days, there should be a couple of zeros on the end of that. That's agreed. Ridiculous.
Agreed. And just the risk factor involved in those ship battles are just a bit, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Not
I mean, it,
it
kind of, it feels like a thing that exists because if you've played Assassin's Creed Black Flag, it's the same system. And it is cool. It makes sense. You know, ship sink. Cool. You should be able to like salvage them or, you know, have fun things that happen when they sink and more game there.
Right.
But again, it's a fun feature.
Well,
sadly,
one advantage of Black Flag is you can get in that ship and go out and fight those ships yourselves and do those missions and salvage stuff out of the water yourself. You know what I mean?
But equally as well, it's like what annoys me with the implementation is I can't do it through my garrison table. I have to walk out of my garrison down to my shipyard to do it on that table.
You didn't get
and
the teleporter
thing? And it
seems like
an unnecessary, awkward, like, it's just like they just thought, hey, this will get them out of that garrison hut.
Yeah.
All the way down the hill to another bit of the garrison. Yeah, we did it, guys. They're out of the garrison.
You haven't done the mission where you get the little teleporter thing to go down
there? No, where'd you get a teleporter? What?
It's a garrison mission. You get like, I forget what it's called, but you can port down there quickly.
Even then, why bother? Give me it on my table. Don't make me load into a different place.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like the travel on that. Or at the very least, you know, when you get the flying, that'll help because you can just pop out and pop in and, you know, it's not that big a deal, but... But yeah, it would have been, I think, consolidating.
But in all fairness,
that.
What's the point, Scott? What's the point of flying anymore? Yeah. There's nothing else. It's all over. Yeah. It's all over.
I guess that's what people are saying. So look, I'm just saying, opportunity is on Blizzard's table to beef up timing or whatever they got to do to say, yeah, part of the reason we ended early is because we've got this plan and it means quicker stuff and expansions every year and, you know, something like that. Get off the 2-year cycle. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, I guess I'm saying, if that's something they were cooking. And we'll see, I suppose. The problem is, it's at odds with Blizzard's modus operandi. It's like they want to make really well iterated, polished, complete, not buggy content. And shortening
Have you seen Warcraft Adventure, Lord of the Clans?
No, you were talking about this the other day. Well, no, I want to see it.
Go on YouTube. It's 2.5 hours long.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you can watch it. It's like some Russian guy got a copy of the game from the animation company they sublet it to. They really need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
It causes all sorts of leaks. you can just watch him do it. And he is slow because he interacts with every single thing in there and does every kind of option. So you get all of the kind of character dialogue. It's Casey Brown from Highlander.
Oh, wow. What?
Yeah, he's Thrall. Not Metzen.
Weird.
It's,
you're talking... Oh, no, you're right. I thought Thrall was... crap. Hellboy. What's his name?
No, Ron Perlman. No, they sound the same though, don't they?
I thought it was him. Oh, all right. I thought... Are you sure? I'm pretty sure Ron Perlman... Hold on. Perlman Thrall.
What's his name? I'm sure I got his name. What's his name? Is it Casey Brown? What's
What? He's Thrall in the Warcraft movie. Well, that's what it says here. That's what it says here. That can't be right. Thrall's not in the movie. Wait a minute.
Is he though? Ooh.
Hold on. I don't know. Warcraft Adventures. This is great radio. Okay, hold on. Ron Perlman Thrall. Adventure Time Wiki. Yeah, I can't find it. I could have sworn he was. Maybe you're right. Well, anyway, doesn't matter. Point is. Okay. That I didn't know that thing existed in a complete form. You're telling me that game would have only taken 2.5 hours and he clicked on everything if we ever got the game?
Yeah, I think so. Well, at least it wasn't finished. It's as close to being finished as I think you'll find.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, like I said, watch it. It's a fun video.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
It's been around since 2011, though. That's what shocked me. I only just saw it the other day.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah.
But, you know, it's been out there for ages. So I'm assuming Blizzard doesn't care enough to bother about taking it down.
Probably not. What was the year? That was like 01 or like 99 or something, right?
When Clancy Brown. That's why I can't say his name.
Clancy Brown. Right.
Clancy Brown. It is, yeah. So Thrall was voiced by Clancy Brown. And it's weird just because it kind of comes across a bit slapstick and jovial.
Yeah.
And you know, so he was in Shawshank Redemption, Highlander.
He's Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob.
He's in SpongeBob, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not a world away from SpongeBob. But it's fun to see.
Yeah.
And you kind of get some of the story in there, but it's amazing to think that's 98, I think that was gonna come out.
Yeah.
And if they had released that, I wonder if we would have got WoW. It is that sort of thing where it kind of didn't quite know what Azeroth was in terms of its vision in the Warcraft sense that we know it today.
Yeah,
it's
like that Zelda game that came out on the CDI or the Commodore 64 or something.
It's what I think when you look at the early human models in WoW, and you had like the big fat guy and the tall wizard guy, and you know, and then they was like, should we just make all humans look fairly heroic and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this, you've got a load of fat, you know, kind of weird. Boy, I'm a human. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm an orc. They're all the same, really. But anyway, it was cool. I enjoyed watching
it.
I'll
check it out. But the point is, like, that's an example of a thing they worked on forever and then chucked. They did it with Titan. Yeah. They do it with all kinds of games. And I don't know that Blizzard's motto works for faster WoW turnaround. That's all I'm saying. Like, it seems to go contradictory to, you know, it's more like the regular video game model, which is, Batman's busted on PC, put it out anyway, you know?
But that's the thing. I think how removed is Blizzard from that, honestly, today? If you look at, you know, Diablo 3 when it came out was a bit of a cluster muss. You know, I don't think you can really say that game was where it could and should have been. Now, Reaper of Souls fix that 10 times over was an amazing experience.
Yeah, one of the best games still on my computer. I freaking love
it. But it's that sort of thing where Blizzard gets it right and they will always get it right. Do they get it right day one? I wouldn't say they necessarily do.
Mm.
I think they create amazing gameplay experiences and they continue to iterate. And that's the brilliant thing. And what they can do is they can play a game and figure out what is special about it. They can find the secret sauce. It's like someone who can taste a burger from a trendy place and be like, I know what that is. That's they got some mayonnaise in there with some hot sauce and some whatever. And you'd be like, oh, brilliant. So you can make that. Yeah, I can make that now. I know what that is. In fact, I tell you what would go even better with that. And that's what Blizzard is.
Yeah.
Is they can play a game, they see what's great, and then they improve on it.
Yeah.
And even with their own ones. But long story short, Warcraft, the team is so big. They are ahead of themselves, I think at least, from what I understand of how they work, is that they are already, like the art team will be making assets to a future spec of engine and fidelity and everything that they want it to be, that will shape their design decisions. So I think and I hope that we are closer to X6 or patch 7 than we think.
Mm.
But you never know with these things.
Well, Hellfire Citadel looked good. That is one thing I really do like about the patch. I only played, obviously, First Wing. We did Hellfire Assault, reminded me a lot of the start of Old War. There's kind of some nice references there. Iron Reaver fight is really fun, kind of insane, and huge, like this giant space to fight that thing, which is apparently a lady, and I could have sworn it was
a lady.
Man. Yeah, the Iron Reaver is a lady, but it's basically a giant robot with, you know, green fire.
A lady robot, though.
Fun to play with the team. Got together
outputs,
with the raid last
just
night.
Just inputs.
Right. The Cormorok fight is pretty standard stuff. I didn't see anything too special there. I don't know. Once again, I think their raid people and their encounter people are killing it right now. Like, some of the best stuff ever. I know, you know, a lot of people thought the last raid stuff was too hard or whatever, but...
Well, yeah. I've played a little bit on LFR. I haven't played anything on Heroic or Mythic. And by my understanding, Mythic is Nels. Heroic, sorry. I don't think Mythic's out yet. But Heroic, I think, is really hard. Some people have cleared it all. Mm-hmm. But even then, I think they pretty much know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do. So I haven't heard any of my raiding hardcore friends complain that there isn't enough game there, or enough challenge or enough excitement.
Yeah. For raiders, I think you're getting what you want. So anyway, more on that later. If you have thoughts about 6-2, I know a lot of people do. Some of it's just straight up hyperbole, but some of you want to have real conversations about what you think is wrong with it or right with it. Send us emails, send us calls. We'd love to talk more about it. Hearthstone's having their Spider Tavern Brawl thing. I don't know what the hell's happening here. It's all spiders. I haven't played Tavern Brawl yet. I know I should have. The banana. So I missed the whole banana thing, so I don't know a thing about
it. So this one's better than the banana one, I think, at least. So you pick a class, and whichever class you pick, you get given a pre-made deck. Mm-hmm. And that deck will actually contain, I think it's 15, but it might even be more than that, Web Spinners, the Hunter class card from Naxxramas, which is a 1-mana, 1/1, that when it dies, puts a random beast in your hand.
Right.
Now, that could be Gazrilla, that could be King Crush, that could be Malorn, that could be a Hymane, or that could be another Web Spinner. You get so many of them, you're fighting against each other. Rogue, people are saying, is the best class to play because you've got good removal, you've got Fan of Knives, you've got your hero power that you can use to take out two Web Spinners over two turns for just 2 mana, which seems to be the most efficient one. But to be honest with you, the real secret is going second and saving the coin. Don't use the coin to get out another Web Spinner. You're going to have enough Web Spinners on the floor. Don't worry about that. Mm. But when you can get like that Savannah Hymane out turn 5 and just you know, kind of change that tempo up, that makes a real big difference.
Talked to somebody yesterday who said that this Tavern Brawl stuff has completely changed the game for them, and to the point that this is now the game they want to play all the time. This is their favorite thing.
I don't know. I mean, Deals and I don't think are those people. Mm. I love playing Arena. I like having crazy deck experiences that don't exist in Constructed and potentially are a bit broken. Like, there's nothing more fun to me. I've done Arena runs with 5 Flame Strikes in a deck, and it's the sort of thing when you're in a mage, you know, no one expects the 5th Flame Strike.
No.
But they don't necessarily always work because they're too weighted one way, but they can be really fun to play. And I think Tavern Brawl gives that sort of experience where it's like, hey, guys, it's only for funsies. It's okay. Here you go. Have fun with this new idea. It's probably a good thing for Blizzard. They can probably test a lot of their ideas out. Like, what would it be like if we gave this sort of spell to this class or this sort of thing to that? And I think, you know, it does make for fun. You get a pack out of it. So getting those original cards, it's a great way of doing it. There's twice as many original cards to get as there are GVGs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be able to have a free way to get those. But I still don't think the replayability is really there for me, at least. Mm. I haven't had so much fun in one of those matches that I've wanted to jump in. Whereas I think I played it, I've got my pack. Okay, now I'm going to go back to Arena to make some gold, or now I'm going to go to Ranked to try and climb up the ladder a bit more.
Do you get new pack every time they do a new brawl?
Yeah, every single week you get a new pack so far. Right. I mean, they could always change that. They keep there's a win tracker on there as well, but there's no difference if you get 1,000 wins to if you get one win, as far as I'm aware.
Nice.
Still, it's good fun and it's free. So if you've got Hearthstone, give it a go. I think you've got to have a level 20 hero to play it.
Correct.
So it's not just, you know, anyone and everyone, but yeah.
That's good. No noobs allowed.
I've been told decks have 7 random class spells and 23 web spinners.
Good Lord.
Mulligan all your web spinners because you'll get them back anyway, but you might get one of the spells.
This just in, breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Fallout Shelter's lunch boxes are 50% off for the celebration of the 4th of July.
Scott, are you buying lunch boxes?
No, but I might consider it if they're cheaper. Yeah.
Have you not got the glitch? Are you not doing the glitch? Everyone I know is doing the tutorial glitch.
What's the glitch?
The tutorial glitch basically is you start a new vault
and
you basically don't complete the quest. You can complete it, but you don't accept the reward on the Equipper Dweller with a weapon. Seller weapon or Equipper Dweller with an outfit. And basically, if you do that, you get, I mean, I'll show you on my one. though I've opened. I had about 170 lunchboxes.
Surely they're going to patch this, right?
Well, probably, but I've already done it, Scott, so it's all fine. And the thing is, it's a free game. It's free to play. I myself have actually spent $30 on lunchboxes to date, so I don't feel that bad. In fact, I feel now kind of bad about having spent money with now, in my opinion, a very devalued resource. but you basically, you don't complete those two quests and you'll get a cycle of, hang on, if I show you, can I show you this?
Let's see.
Which way am I going? I'm going this way.
Right there, yeah.
So hang on, let me bring up, hang on, let me come out
for
of this.
For those at home listening, if you haven't played Fallout Shelter, it's insane.
So there is, I'm not sure none of this is really focusing, but I have 155 dwellers.
And this is after a restart?
And 60... And this is on a restart there. So that's your... Is that going to focus? Can you see those?
Yeah, I can kind of see it.
Yeah. So the idea is that top one, to currently collect 50 food, that returns me with 25 caps. Once I do that, so I just collect that. And then the next quest it will give me will be level up a dweller. So, I mean, this is random, but I've got some dwellers there, so I level one of those up. Yeah. That gives me a lunchbox, and now I've got 61 lunchboxes. Then it says collect 50 food again. I mean, it's random the order in which it would do it. Oh, I've ran out of battery. But you do this... on a cycle, and like I said, you have unlimited free lunchboxes.
That's insane.
You have to, you know, sacrifice your previous. Well, you can have many vaults, but it's a way of having some more fun.
Hey guys, do it now before they patch it.
So there you go.
They're gonna patch that
before they patch it. Well, it's been there all week, and well, it's been since launch. Yeah. So I don't know. And a lot of people, everyone I spoke to who's like really into Shelter, has already done it. So. I'm just sharing the exploitation there. Don't be impressed if you see someone with 200 dwellers.
Nice.
It takes a day.
Very nice. So, yeah. Heroes of the Storm news, Butcher impressions. I think he's rad and fun.
He's overpowered to no end.
He's a little OP, but they often are when they come out. Or here's how it usually goes. I always think they're going to nerf these new characters when they come out. And then what ends up happening is they don't nerf them. Just everyone else figures out tactics to counter them. So,
quite probably. Yeah. But I think the thing is that they're so expensive, you think, I'll just buy it with money. Mm. They're so overpowered that you think, like, I'll play it now because it might get fixed.
Yeah.
The Butcher's amazing. He's a melee assault. He's actually really fun. He's not too squishy for an assault, which is kind of weird.
Does all right. He's a little slow, though. Can't get out of bad stuff quickly.
Well, he's got his charge sort of thing. If you want to charge into stuff, I don't know about charging out. You've got to charge to a character.
You can charge out to a minion. It turns out.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Yeah. So maybe that's the play.
Not but structures,
he's
but
he's got
only
his
minions.
His brand that you can then heal with, and his so amazing regen.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of the Butcher. Yeah. I think they've done really really well.
He's great. If in fact you can kind of gauge, at least on some level, the popularity of the character, because when I hop in with a group of friends. And I just add them all to group, and everyone comes in with him pre-selected. So literally, the screen is full of five Butchers. That's when you know a new character is being played a lot, and people are digging it.
But like I said, great fun, great fun to play, and fairly easy to play as well. I think for a lot of people.
Yeah, easy to pick up. I don't think he's difficult. He's down as medium as far as difficulty goes, but I don't know that he's that hard. I think he's probably as easy as anybody else. He's really fun though, and his fire vents ultimate is insane.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, really good, because you charge in. If you do it right, you're charging in, stunning and damaging a hero, and then that thing is already on charge, right? And then boom, everyone's dead. It's amazing. Yeah. Battle of Eternity impressions. I think it's absolutely beautiful. The art team and sound team and everybody who works on that part of it just nailed it with that thing. It's just beautiful, gorgeous.
The Eternals fighting in the middle,
so
the Immortals, wherever they are, they're so cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand when I saw the preview that they interacted with the players kind of killing them in terms of, you know, stunning them and damaging them around there.
Sure.
So you're keeping an eye on where they're going to attack, where the other team is. You're trying to damage theirs, but you're trying to defend yours. You're trying to kill the other dudes. It's this great tussle in the middle. That just feels really, really strong.
Super back and forth.
Once you get one, just boosh, there goes a lane.
It's interesting because the two lanes, so you have two lanes, but this huge swath in the middle, it's very unusual. And you spend a lot less time in that map than any other map in the game doing lane work. Like, you're just constantly having team fights in the middle. And so if you're looking for a change of pace, that map certainly gives it. And I just love hearing Deckard Cain's voice and the whole thing with the little stupid goblin at the beginning, and I just love it. It's freaking great.
Find a treasure.
They data mined a wizard hero out of the PTR. So this is kind of interesting. Everybody keeps wanting Deckard Cain to be the last of this D3 event. But it may be a wizard. If there is even another character after the monk, we don't know. But there's some...
Eventually, it'll be everyone.
Yeah, everyone will be in there, sure.
It's just a question of either today or tomorrow or many tomorrows thereafter.
Yeah, so wizard, I'm guessing the male, because we've done a lot of females lately on that side. Probably in the works, and we'll see if it shows up sooner than later. But I that makes me excited because I'm a big fan of the wizard in the game.
Yeah.
Wizard all the time.
Very cocky. Yeah. That's what I like. I play a wizard.
Yeah. Yeah, you do play a wizard. Also, 100% XP boost until July 6th. So they're also celebrating the independence from the horrible tyranny
of Britain.
Let's
not go on about it, Scott. Okay. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. I get a little bit, feel like there's a little bit of xenophobia.
Is there some of that coming out in my tone?
All of a sudden, people are like, whoa, excuse me, sir, what country are you from? From England.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just
Do they shoot bottle rockets at you and, you know?
Only we call them bottle rockets.
Oh.
yeah. That's
bottle.
Past that, it's the same thing. It's scary.
All right, great. Let's do this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Time for emails and calls. That's what Town Crier is. You can call us 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. That's 801-471-0462. Or you can email attachments and your thoughts to theinstance@gmail.com. Our first call is about skin prices.
Hey, Instance crew. I was just listening to the most recent episode where you guys were talking about the skin prices in Heroes of the Storm. $10 for the one of the new skins. Actually, in League of Legends, which is one of the more comparable MOBAs, the skin prices actually range anywhere from $10 all the way up to $30, actually, for their legendary skins. Those are sort of the top-line ones that include some of the things that Scott mentioned in terms of new voice effects, new artwork, and so forth. So $10 is actually pretty cheap as far as skin prices go in that range, but... anyway, love the show, though. Take care, guys.
So it's an interesting comparison. Like, if I want to get Tassadar's transforming airplane thing, that's 15. And that's so basically what you're getting is a skin and a mount for 15, because most of the time it's just a skin for 10.
Or for, I guess so, yeah.
$7.49 or whatever.
I don't like the term skin, though, because skin historically meant the texture, file that was applied over the mesh.
Yeah.
But these are new meshes. New skins, new textures, new animations,
new dangly
new
bits,
everything.
Yeah, new geometry in some cases.
Yeah, everything's new about it.
Yeah.
And so they, I don't in Heroes, I don't feel that aggrieved. Part of me, the money. Mm. It's Hearthstone where I have an issue.
Yeah. No. See that, and that's where the argument came up in the first place. The two aren't really, in my mind, they're not comparable. I mean, get a lot of value out of a skin in Heroes versus what I would get out of Hearthstone, but as a Hearthstone player...
I guess in
player,
Heroes, there's more characters, so each skin, you could argue, is less used or seen, whereas in Hearthstone, there's only 9 classes, so if you've got an extra, 3 skins within those, they may see more playtime, and you may feel you get more value, but I don't know. I mean, I watched The Angry Chicken with Michelle Morrow. Morrow on it. And I mean, it was cool. She was chatting a little bit about like how they did it, and it seemed like that they recorded the VO for this like a year ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, who else is coming to Hearthstone. I mean, we didn't actually talk about Hearthstone, but they've sent out a few little teasers to some like PC Gamer and some press people. Sadly,
oh, great! Yeah, this just happened today.
But there's it's a musical scroll that plays the Argent tournament theme, and it's very paladin sort of muster for battle or muster your arms for a cool announcement coming on the 22nd of July. And it seems a little bit like it could be a paladin hero, but it seems like a big thing to do for a paladin hero, considering they didn't do anything for any of the others. In terms of a physical mail out to people, they just did the digital tease with the who's that Pokemon.
Yeah.
So that's why people are thinking we'll potentially learn about an Argent tournament expansion on the 22nd of July.
Well, the guys at Touch Arcade got it as well. Let's hear. They have some audio from it. I want to hear what this sounds like. So they pull it out of the tube. It starts making noise immediately. They unwind it. So they untie it.
And then it just says, you know.
That's amazing.
Champion! Yeah. Duly requested to battle. Well met.
You know,
That has to be more than just a new skin coming.
You think so? I mean, to be honest with you, Paladin's my favorite class. So if I was doing the PR for it, I would be like, guys, how much budget do we have? Okay, yeah. We're spending that all on the Paladin musical scrolls. but sadly, I don't have that job. So I think it's cool. I think it would be, like I said, Argent tournament. I think that's a really cool theme for the TCG.
I agree.
It gives that, you know, Horde versus Alliance thing that they're trying to introduce slowly but surely into Hearthstone, and the ability to have loads of cool little things. Potentially, we could have mounts. You could have mounted combat.
Oh, because you're in the jousty mode stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. Or people are saying maybe we just get tournaments in Hearthstone, which is what Deals has been wanting forever.
Yeah.
So maybe they just hit us back with that and say, you've got enough cards to last you for a little while longer. Have a new cool game mode that will make Deals super happy.
The Argent tournament. There it is. Or tournament. Sorry, I have to say the way you say it. All right. Here's a BattleNet thing.
This is Pari, Undead Warlock, calling from Kiltoff's server. I was listening to the instance 413, and you were talking about, Heroes of the Storm, and I was realizing that I'm excited about playing this, and I'm probably going to go home and load it up only because Blizzard has it on my BlizzNet account. And someone else mentioned League of Legends, which I have not gone to find, not gone to download, because I'd have to go all the way to the internet to find it, and that's just too difficult. Meanwhile, Blizzard has a button right there on my desktop. Thank you very much for the show. Hope you guys have a good week.
So
have a good one.
Point being, BattleNet seems to be doing its job.
But this is why everyone wants them. This is why there's a Uplay, an Origin, even a good old games, a GOG launcher,
which is
everyone
pretty good,
wants
by the
a
way.
Launcher because they own your attention whilst in there,
and
all they need is a couple of really good games to get you in there, and then they can suggest you a couple of others whilst you're there. So Blizzard's, you know, done completely the right thing, and for me, just not having to log in to each of the games individually, putting in my authenticator every single time. If you remember what that was like, it was horrible.
It was terrible.
So just coming along with the launcher and changing all of that, I'm like, tell me when there's more Blizzard games for me to play.
Yeah.
So when Overwatch comes out, if that one's free to play, that'll pop up into there. Even if it's not free to play, they should pop it there and you should be able to buy it through the launcher. It's just, it's a great thing for them to
utilize.
It's a
smart, it was a smart decision for them to move forward with before it became so clear that this is an important thing, if you know what I'm trying to say. Like, people were going to play their Blizzard games regardless, but this came along and said, well, you know those things you like about Steam and these other launchers, just organized and easy to get to? We're going to make that too. And we all just kind of went, oh, okay, that's fine. But as it turns out, that's really important for me. Like, I really don't, I'm with this guy. I don't want to go to the web and find some game. I mean, occasionally someone will say, oh, you got to try this thing. It's super cool. It's an indie developer. Go develop, you know, go download it. And I'll do it. But it's like the browser used to be our place to go.
But this is why a lot of people got annoyed about this, though, because Steam already exists on our computers and already provided this function. And Blizzard and other developers out there have said, we'd rather not give Steam 30% of each sale that they have. Or we'd rather not just give up on the opportunity to control our
market. Is that the break? Is it 70-30 with Steam? Is that how they do it?
That's their default one, yeah. Mm, okay. Yeah. So Valve would get 30% only on what they sell.
Right.
For DLC, I think regardless of where it's sold, they get a cut.
Yeah.
But for actual straight sales through the platform, 30%.
Wow.
It's the same as iTunes, though.
Yeah,
so
same.
It's a very common model across a lot of distributors.
I guess so,
out
yeah.
There.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. It's because I love the game, so it's easy for me to say that I really like BattleNet. If I didn't like BattleNet, or if I didn't like the games, maybe I wouldn't care. But yeah, I'm kind of with this guy. Final call about esports.
Hi guys, player Drew called Nick on Outland EU. The PC playing public clearly loves PvP, hence the success of Dota and League of Legends. Do you think that Blizzard should push the WoW PvP scene a little bit more in arenas and rated battlegrounds on an esports level to try and increase the game's profile and therefore turn around those that decline in subscriber numbers? Love the show. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
So they're kind of doing that now. They have a big lead up to BlizzCon, bunch of arena stuff that's going to basically create tournaments and work their way to BlizzCon. I don't think that it's that they don't do it. I just think the interest in WoW-based esports is at an all-time low.
It's tricky because the mechanic of WoW PvP, in terms of action bars, positioning, latency, there's not kind of aiming. It's just it doesn't quite fit in with the current speed and desires from a esports PvP focused audience on the mass. Now, obviously, people who love WoW and have been playing WoW get some enjoyment through PvP. But there's certain classes and certain specs that excel within that PvP mode, but certainly not every character or class. If in Heroes of the Storm you had as much disparity between the classes as there is in WoW, then people would be like, WTF, Blizz, you got to fix this. Whereas in Warcraft, because it's got to balance the PvE side and because everyone has a different job, so tanks and healers and damage, you know, that's all got to balance. I just think that arenas are, well, I don't know. I think battlegrounds are a better example of WoW than arenas. Those small scale things.
Yeah, and the way they pop off, they're fun. They're kind of fun to watch. I've seen them at BlizzCon and stuff. They're okay, but I feel like
we always
just
say like we kind of know what's going on. Yeah, but even when I watch them, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
It's such a clumsy game to spectate and to understand like who's winning, what's he doing, how's that, what have they done there? It just was never built to be that. It was a kind of a tacked on feature. I say, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful in the manner in which I'm being disrespectful, but I don't think that WoW wasn't built as a PvP game, or at least they didn't build in arenas or battlegrounds as this is a core tenant of what we're making.
Yeah, they didn't even launch with it, if people remember.
I mean, and it was organic PvP and it was fun, but it wasn't necessarily something that you could structure in a tournament type fashion, as well as things like Heroes, Hearthstone, League, Dota 2. Yeah, I mean the international, was it the sixth one? I forget what's coming up, but it's like $18 million or something ridiculous. It's such a massive tournament and desire to watch it and investment, and they've got the grimoire, what do they call the compendium, which you level up and you can kind of play along, and it's a very inclusive esport game that's been designed around that. Whereas I think that, I just feel like WoW PvP is great, but I just don't think it works as well as an esport. And that's why it isn't as big in the esports scene.
Yeah. I also think third person and first person games have less of an esports foothold, because there's something to be said for a top down view on a game. And that includes StarCraft, that includes League and Dota and everything else, HOTS. They all have this perspective that lends itself well to the way sports are covered. It's like, well, a football field, you can see this big down shot of everybody playing and go, all right, well, this guy needs to move around the back and look at the way he did that interception. Yeah. And if he tackles here, like, you can do that with a MOBA or an RTS, and you can't do it as well with a thing where you're either right behind the guy's shoulder or you're, in a first person mode or whatever. It's the reason that shooters kind of have a big spot in esports, but never as big as these other things.
If Blizzard built a load of tools to kind of display and make it so they had, kind of graphical interfaces where you saw movements on a 2D screen, or you saw health bars comparatively, or you saw, I don't know, something more to communicate what was going on, because I just think it's quite awkward to watch. I mean, Hearthstone, I love to watch. It's like watching poker. Poker's huge on TV and the internet still.
Yeah.
And Hearthstone equally fills that exact same niche. In fact, a lot of Hearthstone's best players are ex-poker players.
Right. Makes sense, right? That's the same kind of draw. It's really weird. That's your calls. Thank you for those. Got one email to read. This is from Huckleberry, the Hunter Dwarf on Bronzebeard. He says, It occurred to me that there are many overlaps in the real-life debate over drone usage and the gaming world debate over flying mounts in World of Warcraft. Is there something... Well, I don't know. Is there something inherently uncomfortable about seeing the world from above? Love the show. The idea with drones is that there is a detachment when you can see the world from that angle. I'll give you an example. I spent some time in New Orleans during a time that was kind of crime-ridden and horrible. Terrible time. You walk down the street and there was just weird drug deals going. It was just bad the time I was there. And I remember being just kind of disgusted on the ground in certain parts of the city. And then, and this is no offense to anybody living there. It's just there's, you know, the parts we were in were pretty bad. But we would get in a plane and we would leave and we would notice the exact same neighborhoods that were giving us so much grief from a plane looked just innocuous and fine, like just a little model down there, a little toy. And it didn't have anywhere near the grit or the perspective that you have on the ground. And I think that drones, especially those controlled from thousands of miles away, doing horrible, destructive things, there's a detachment there. You know, in fact, there's no way for even like a big airplane dropping atomic bombs to truly understand what that big mushroom cloud is on the ground. You know what I mean?
It's like they wanted the president to have a close personal aide who had the nuclear launch codes embedded in next to their heart.
Right.
So he would have to kill that person. Yeah. He'd have to take a life in order to take hundreds of thousands of lives.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I just think that guy would just be the worst job in the world, wouldn't it? You'd just be constantly just so anxious.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, you know, what's happening in the Middle East? Oh, God, what the Russians are doing? What? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't come in today. I'm feeling really, I've got a cold coming on.
Exactly. You know, I'm sorry, I can't save the world today. Exactly. But the same thing could be true in World of Warcraft when you fly over the world easily and jump in and jump out, that you take away the danger and the fear.
Very different scenarios. WoW developers don't want you to fly because it trivializes content.
Yeah.
And it's a fact. Like, you can't design a maze that's challenging when the person has the power to fly up in the air, look down on the maze and go like, I just need to go there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
And it's just the nature of how WoW is built and designed that flying goes opposite to that leveling questing experience. So they can't create a really fun roller coaster ride if at any time you can be like, oh, this is getting a bit perilous. I'm just going to zip up and zip to the end. So... it's just...
But they can give that to us at the end. And that's all I've ever argued
for. Well, you say the end, but what is the end?
When I finish okay.
When you level up to max level, then for that last zone of content, you trivialize that. Or for any further reputation grinds or for anything, it trivializes how it works. And sometimes that's useful. Like, archaeology is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't fly, it's horrible. But it does... It's trivialized by... flying. It just becomes another thing to just mindlessly go through and do that.
It does trivialize things. To me, it is a thorn in their side. I just think at some point you let people fly.
The players want it, and at the end of the day, you know, people vote with their wallets and their feet, and you know, Blizzard has to introduce it, and that's fine. And they found a way. They're saying, okay, we're doing it, but we're gating it behind what we consider to be that you completing the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to this stage of content, rep up with these guys. Pretty much after this, it's all just quality of life serving, so we're okay with that.
Yeah.
And your other characters, you've in theory already experienced this at least once, so they can have it unlocked. That's cool.
And don't forget,
and I think that's fine.
Don't forget, as far as the final patches go, we do at least have the flying patch coming at some point.
We have the flying patch, exactly. Yeah. So
maybe
so
that's all it'll be. It'll be
maybe
another selfie camera and then that.
Maybe they have a full CG cinematic at Gamescom of an orc getting on a big love rocket and just launching off into the sky. And then they say, flying!
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. I mean, like, people cheer when they announce a new expansion with all the bits at the end.
Mm-hmm.
New level cap, new experience, new trade skills. It's just going to say, flying!
Yep.
And people will be like, yeah, flying!
I remember when it said flying in Old World in the cinematic for Cataclysm, and everybody losing their crap over that.
And that they had to rebuild the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, think of the regret they must have for flying. Think about how much they must hate flying. Because not only do they hate it for what it does to gameplay and design, but now they hate it because it's a thing they had to redo a world for. you know?
Well, yes, and equally that when they build stuff now, I think they build it knowing that flying is a possibility.
Sure.
And back then it wasn't. So they were coming up against, like, guys, how do we create a seamless loading experience when you're on a continent? Mm-hmm. How do we get it so you can run from Stranglethorn to Plaguelands and not see a loading screen?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we could just, like, you know those bits you can't get to in Stormwind? Should we just make them into pictures on flat planes? And like, yeah, great. Anything else we can do? We could just, in fact, though, you can't go over those mountains, so let's just cut that bit off there, and let's, you know, and then all of a sudden, once you can fly and computers can handle that whole, you know, continent, they're like, ah, shit, we got to go back and we got to make all this again.
Yeah, that must have been a harrowing.
And like I said, they still haven't done it for Silver Moon or, what's the Draenei? I can't even remember what it is.
Thing.
Anyway,
the thing.
So those ones you can't fly in yet because they would have to completely rebuild them.
Right.
And there's just not enough of a reason. Because they had to rebuild the whole world anyway, mm-hmm. they rebuilt those. But because you have to go through a loading screen to get to those other places, they haven't. And probably won't.
Because
of the amount of time it takes.
Yeah. There's so much to it. But yeah, at least they've given us a way. And we still talked about flying today. So there you have it, folks. That's your emails, that's your calls. Again, 801-471-0462, or email us theinstance@gmail.com. That's going to do it, I think.
There you go.
Terpster, Bama. Anything to pimp? Or?
Yeah, you should check out patreon.com/hypohelp. Mm-hmm. Give us all of your money, not some of it, all of it, and you can listen to Hypothetical Help. You can listen to it anyway for free, but technically, if you do that, you're stealing.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, I have told you how to save money by stealing from Bethesda. Uh-huh. I don't want you to then turn around and steal from me.
It's a different market.
Double,
you know?
Standards.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. We can't do that. Can't have that kind of talk.
That's all I want. It's just a bit of double standards.
Yeah. Come listen. It's really fun. We have a great time doing it. We brought it back for you, and a lot of people wanted it back. So it's back. Hypotheticalhelp.com is another link you can use. And link off to the Patreon and support us over there. That would be wonderful. Gosh, what else? I guess that's it. Oh, the Heroes of the Storm tournament is underway. We have two teams who have not contacted us back about timing. So we may have to sub in somebody. I don't know if Gorath is listening to this show. He and I will be getting together this weekend to talk about that. But yeah, like starting next week, it's on like Donkey Kong. Well, it's on like Heroes of the Storm.
Wow. So.
Watch for that. Follow me on Twitter for more details, @ScottJohnson. Follow Terpster @_T. And you can find our theme on our website, created by Matthew Oxley. We actually have a link. You can download it and hang out with it. And there's older versions of it as well. Big thanks to Paul Swickard, our intern. Are more shows like this on frogpants.com? There sure are. So go check it out. I guess that's it for me, for Terpster, and for those two other chuckleheads. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Songbird forces Blizzard to allow adventurers to fly. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Big corporations are prone to believe they are immune to pressure regarding their decision-making process, but sometimes events prove them wrong. One such example occurred not long ago when singer-superstar Taylor Swift shamed Apple into paying royalties to artists during the first 3 months trial period of Apple Music. This rapid change in policy got ODM thinking about another recent corporate about-face, and we sent our crack undercover investigative team into action. We can now report that our hunch was right. Our team uncovered a secret trove of emails between Taylor and Blizzard. It turns out that she kills the long hours in hotels on the road playing a Blood Elf priestess, and she was not happy that she would be unable to fly in Draenor. It also appears that she is in negotiations to sing the theme song for the upcoming Warcraft movie and threatened to pull out of the deal unless Blizzard reverse course and open the skies. We asked Blizzard to comment on the matter, and they, of course, denied it. But curiously, they refused comment on our discovery in the 6.2 patch code that the slowest form of flying was to be removed from the game, so that by default, everyone would take to the air with swift flying. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter @HuntsTheWind.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Reputation Boost, helping you gain the all-important reputation in the World of Warcraft. This week, we take one step closer to completing the Northrend Vanguard achievement by exploring the faction known as the Kirin Tor. This faction is composed of some of the most powerful magic wielders of Azeroth, and their base of operations is the floating city of Dalaran, high above Northrend. The most typical way to start out gaining reputation with this faction is usually when you're leveling. You'll encounter quests from them in the Borean Tundra, Dragonblight, and Kuldera. Besides these quests, you'll have two other paths to becoming exalted. First, you can start by buying the Tabard of the Kirin Tor, and then championing for this faction in Wrath Dungeons. Second, there are a number of daily quests in Dalaran for cooking, jewel crafting, fishing, and other things. These can give you a boost or a break, and with this faction, mages are the lucky ones because they start out as friendly with this faction. Many of this faction's rewards are now trivial, just like many of the other factions we've looked at in the Northrend Vanguard achievement, but by reaching Exalted status, you'll be one more step closer to that meta achievement. You'll also receive the achievement for reaching Exalted status with them as well. There are a couple of crafting recipes, though, that may be of interest for people who want to collect some of them, such as the design for Runed Scarlet Ruby or the pattern for Sapphire Spell Thread. I'll be back next week with yet another tip. Remember to follow me at repboost.blogspot.com. If you have a faction that you'd like me to spotlight, leave me a comment. Until next time, this is Frosty, and may the light be with you.
Thrunka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is the Tannan Jungle really the ultimate paradise vacation getaway as advertised in all the glossy brochures? Cruising through the Tannan Jungle with a nice cool drink and your favorite axe is a welcome break from the normal day-to-day grind of catching the Alliance in a trap and scaring them out of their wits before you put them on the run back to their mamas. Just be aware that even on vacation you must keep up your fitness. And there are Bloodfang Ravagers and Fellblood Orcs and more who will provide you with a great workout while you enjoy yourself. But I must warn you to be careful. Do not mistake Fangrilla, a place where you will find lots of fangs pointed in your direction, for Shangrilla, the mythical utopia located in the mountains with lots of monks and easy listening music. If you want one of those mystical monkey spiritual vacations, I suggest you go back to Pandaria and try the Gold Proving Grounds at the Temple of the White Tiger. I am Miss Melgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Melgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmelgra.com.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.